T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Alrighty, Daddy, it is time to chat with the head coach of the Buffalo Sabres. Don Granato's segment on WGR is brought to you by Paul William Belts, your power of attorney, by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. By Equitable Advisors, planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Nextiva, by Premcom, the official telephone system of the Buffalo Bills and the Buffalo Sabres. And he is standing by on our Western Hotline. Good morning, Mr. Granato. It's Howard and Jeremy. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Good, thanks.
Yeah.
Ready for another one tonight.
Hey, listen, by the way, not for nothing, thanks for making watching Sabres hockey fun again.
You're welcome, but you got a lot more than me to thank for that. So the guys have been great, obviously, and the staff has been incredible. So it's a lot more than me, I can assure you of that.
You did say something to that effect, though, that you do like the idea of playing an entertaining product. What is it what does it mean to you anytime you watch a game and it's 7-6 on the broadcast? They're going to say coaches hate this kind of game. Apparently that's not you. You don't hate that type of game.
No, the goalies hate that kind of game. I can assure you of that. But as long as you're the team with 7, you love it. You take a win any possible way you can. And yeah, my comment on that is it's pretty simple. And you need to win a game. And if you don't win a game, you damn well better be entertaining. And that means you better be working hard, competing, fighting, scratching, clawing, and have some passion. And that's all I mean by that. Certainly the objective is to win, but I don't like playing a boring style. I don't think and my approach to that is I don't think the players like that either. In fact, I know they don't. They want to play. They want to get up and down the rink and engage physically as much as they can, skate as much as they can. So it really goes hand in hand as far as that is concerned.
How much do you see that, or have you seen that over the years? You have a deep resume in terms of different levels of hockey that you have coached at, and I'm wondering, like, we would tend to talk about, okay, teams are going to protect the lead late in the third. Some coaches might go into 3-on-3, and instead of thinking I can be aggressive and get a second point, you know, let me not lose the second. I mean, it's just, I always wonder about coaches and philosophy, Don, and are they playing to win? Are they playing not to lose? I've got a point when the game starts, it's 0-0, things like that.
Yeah, I think I've got a point at 0-0 in the start of the game. It's pretty extreme, but I bet there's people that think that way. But, you know, later in a game, the 5 minutes left and the situation presents itself, you may think differently. Or you may play that situation differently with that, you know, little time left. But by and large, you know, again, I've had enough coaching where, as you mentioned, a team gets a 1-0 lead, and you look at just the statistics, analytics through the NHL history, teams leading after the first period, their winning percentage, teams leading after the second, it indicates, you know, they can indicate a lot of different things. But one thing to me that I always looked at that and said it indicates how challenged the opposition is to score in that situation. So for me, that's why I talk about offense. And there's going to be a lot of games you're trailing one goal. And if you don't know how to generate through a team that's playing really defensive, you've lost the game. And think about how many losses you'd have then. And again, it's real easy to just look at the winning percentage of teams when they score the first goal. And if you look at the worst teams in the league over the last 10 years, their winning percentage is, I bet you it's over 500, or it's near what the overall winning percentage is for the top teams in the league. And to me, that's always been an indicator of teams' inability to score.
Don, do you think that's the natural evolution of the game, the league, the way that, that coaches will coach? I mean, you've got a lot of experience coaching. You would have been around a lot of other coaches. And over the course of your career, come across people that do want to lock it down. I mean, there are guys that are going to make the Hockey Hall of Fame that play great defensive styles. And, you know, I just wonder what it's like to have the ideas and the mindset that you have working with maybe guys that are on the other side of that spectrum.
Well, it definitely does work. So there's merit to it, absolutely, because the other team has to be able to penetrate. They have to be able to go through, you know, you defensively. And again, it's an awful feeling. I lost a world championship in Sochi, Russia. We outshot Team Canada 35-12, and we lost the game. And we had no business losing the game, but we just couldn't score a goal. And it was we dominated the play, obviously 35-12. They had 12 shots, and we just couldn't score enough. And that was one experience I never want to go through again. And it was a good learning experience in front of thousands of, you know, a world championship was on the line. So you learn a lot from situations like that. And, you know, on the flip side, you have to also be able to protect the lead or manage a lead. And yes, a component of managing a lead is knowing your opponent may overextend themselves and staying prepared to score to expand that lead. So, again, more of an offensive twist to that as well.
You lose a game, a world championship might be tough because it's, you know, it's a shortened tournament, 35-12 on a shot count, night in, night out over the course of a season. That's going to be pretty good. So, as a coach, how do you deal with what can sometimes be the randomness of the game? I mean, there are bad bounces. There are going to be heartbreaking days when you're happy with how you played, but it just didn't go your way.
Yeah, I can tell you in that case, you feel terrible for the players because they worked. I mean, they did. They committed. They fought. And the only time you feel really bad as a coach about what you did or didn't do is when your players, you feel like they didn't, you know, we didn't play hard enough. We didn't compete hard enough. If the guys work and compete, it's rare that you feel bad as a coach, because they gave the effort. They were, you know, determined, they prepared well, they executed what was laid out and competed for each other. Very, very few times do you feel bad when they do that and they play with that type of passion. It's when you didn't show up right away or you left something on the table. That's an awful feeling for a coach.
Don Granato with us, Sabres playing the Bruins tonight. I wanted to ask you about some of the individual players that are playing better and or developing right before our eyes this season. And I think for sure Casey Mittelstadt, if he's not at the top, he's near the top of the list for Sabres fans, Don. And I was wondering, you know, he's clearly in his best stretch as a Sabre. He's doing it at center, which I wasn't sure that he'd be able to do, quite honestly. What has been the key, or what do you think are the keys to what we've seen from him for the last, you know, dozen games or so?
Lots of things have gone into it. You know, again, I credit Casey, number one, and then our entire staff, pushing all of these guys. And I've mentioned to you before, it's supporting them, but it's also pushing them. You know, it's us demanding of them, but, you know, in the demanding sense, the reassurance from the staff that they can do it. You know, I had no problem throwing Dylan Cousins against Crosby and
right.
And I was probably more excited than Dylan was to have that opportunity because I just think, you know, he and as we're talking about Casey, their ceilings are so high that we just need to keep pushing them toward that ceiling. And you know, we believe in them that they can do that. Casey's put in his time and effort, and I've watched him grow, you know, on the ice, off the ice, mature and target the right things for Casey. You know, he's targeted what he needs to do to become better, and he's targeted where he wants to go with his game. And seeing those things from the coaching side, you know, I knew that and felt strongly that I could put Casey in, you know, in challenging situations because he worked that process so well, you know, on his own, and he was ready for it. And, you know, I think a lot of guys were because of their work and preparation, and it's nice to be able to give them that opportunity, and nice to be in a position to encourage them, because I believe in them and believe they've done the work to be ready for that.
You've talked about confidence a few times. You've been asked about confidence level of players of the team, and I'm curious, specifically with a guy like Casey, like he looks more confident with the puck. He looks confident in his shot. When he shoots, it almost looks like he's feeling much better about his chances of scoring. He just looks so much more comfortable in his shoes. Now, does that come from coaches showing faith? Does he have a little success and confidence grows? How do you become confident when you haven't had previous success to have that confidence, you know?
Yeah, I think on the coaching side, what I know my thoughts specifically, I don't want a player, and lots of times players play not to make a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they make a mistake, there's a certain accountability that that typically follows, less ice time or, you know, maybe bumped out of the lineup. But I don't want the player to fear making a mistake. And, you know, what I use and preface on that is, if you weren't prepared for the game, you weren't willing to work hard, and you didn't work hard, and you didn't compete, and you make a mistake, you're in trouble. And you will hear from me because you didn't work and you didn't prepare. But I can reassure Casey, for example, he's doing all that. So don't worry about making a mistake. That's part of the game. You have to make read and react decisions, you know, in the moment at a high pace, and, you know, calibrate what's going on. So we'll look at that after the game on film. You'll be able to see from hindsight, you know, what it looked like on the big picture and what you were thinking in that particular situation. So I don't need to tell him he was right or wrong. I need him to gain that experience of it. And then he can move on with confidence that he gained that experience of maybe it was a mistake. Maybe it wasn't. But that's kind of the process. But the last thing I want these guys to worry about is making mistakes. It's just the game's so fast, and we need them to read and react and gain the experience of each situation. And that's been our process and will continue to be.
It all kind of sounds like it adds up to, for some young guys, especially higher-end ones that have these ceilings. You know, you've mentioned Cousins and Casey here that are putting the work in, that it takes someone to believe in them to get them to keep going to that ceiling.
Well, it's always nice to have people believe in you. I mean, that's how it is in life. But, they're easy guys to believe in. Again, it's much less me, and it's a lot more the fact that they're doing the work. And when you see that as a coach, you're excited to give them such opportunity. And that's really what's really, really happening.
I think we can transition that into Cousins, since you mentioned him a moment ago when you were talking about Casey Mittelstadt. And, you know, he's looked very good coming back from this most recent injury. With the transition to center, Don, I mean, I know Ralph had talked about, a lot of coaches will talk about, for a young player, it's tough to throw him in right away at center. There's so much they have to learn. So he had a shot at wing. He transitions to center. How much have you seen him in a short period of time grow in terms of the center responsibilities?
You know, he's comfortable at center, so there's elements where he looks much more comfortable because he's, you know, he's played it. And yes, there's certain things, most of the things, you know, and Samuelson would probably be a really good example as we're talking about Cousins. He played his first game the other day.
Mm-hmm.
So you could see it. I could see his play. He was outstanding. What he needs is some games to kind of calibrate to the level, the intelligence of the player he's playing against, the speed or the strength or the quickness. And he'll calibrate. He'll recalibrate really quick because he's talented and he has a good base. And Dylan's the same way. So, again, when I get him in these situations against Crosby, and Crosby maybe uses some experience to his advantage and outsmarts Dylan or anybody else in a certain situation, Dylan can take that, recalibrate, literally the next shift, and he won't be beat that way.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a big factor for me to put him at center, because I know it's not going to break his confidence if he makes a mistake. He's just going to recalibrate.
Yeah.
And that's the exciting thing. My conversation with Dylan, even before the game or before the series with Pittsburgh, was he's going to play against him throughout the game. And at some point he's going to realize that Sidney has a lot of experience, but there's some things that Dylan has in his game that Sidney does not anymore. You know, Sidney's in his 30s and Dylan's in his early 20s. And, you know, there's some power, explosiveness, quickness that Dylan has that 30-year-old players just don't have anymore. So as he starts to figure out those advantages and how to use those advantages, you know, each moment he does, we have a better player. And that's exciting. So, but Dylan is highly intelligent. So again, he will calibrate and recalibrate really quick.
One of the other guys Jeremy and I were talking about this week is Victor Olofsson, who seems to be more active, Don. It looks like he, you know, more comfortable, playing better, whatever term you'd like to use, with and without the puck. He seems to be playing more of an overall game. Would you agree? And if so, how were you and the staff able to elevate his game to that point?
Yeah, I agree completely. He looks better. He's got more jump in his stride. We see more explosiveness at moments. Which has been a real challenge. The opposition opened up ice for his line mates, Sammy and Reinhardt and Jeff Skinner. And I would say Jeff Skinner's been the same. You know, they've got a lot more pop. Their first couple strides, they're using, you know, that short quickness. They've been stronger over pucks. So, yes, I would agree with you on Victor. And, you know, again, he's definitely upped his intensity and effort. He didn't like his game. You know, when I would talk to him about watching clips, he got excited. He was hungry for it. He wanted more because he wanted to play better, and he's definitely going the right direction.
We are with Don Granato wrapping up our conversation. Of course, they're playing the Bruins tonight. We'll have the game on WGR. There is one other guy I want to ask you about, Don, and get a quick injury update too, and that's Reinhardt. You mentioned Sam a moment ago. Moves over to center, was playing well on the wing, moves over to center, and he's playing well at center as well. Where do you think he is more valuable to the team at one position or the other?
I really like him at center. I've liked him since we've seen him. And, you know, there's still so much room for him to, you know, I don't want to say improvement, but again, he hasn't played it in a while. So he's almost relearning, you know, what he can do in that position. And I think his skill set, his vision around the ice, his ability to look right or left. When you're on the wing, you're on the wall, so you're only looking and making plays one way for the most part. You know, he's a tricky, deceptive player. And when he's in the middle of the rink and he can use that deception and go, you know, east, west, right, left, and has outlets either direction, I like that. You know, I think that's a bonus. I like his skill set. I like where he's at in his career. It fits well at center, and I don't see any reason to shift him to the wing, certainly not now.
In a couple injury updates. Let's see, Linus Ullmark,
you know, I can't remember what we released last and what I've, you know, what I haven't followed our injuries on the guys that are longer term. Mm-hmm. And he's not within the next week and a half, 2 weeks. So I can't even speak on that. I'm sorry, guys. Oregon, I can tell you, is going to skate with us today for the first time, which is really exciting. And that means he's now day-to-day. So okay. He could be back as soon as our next game. That's a real positive. Kajula will skate this morning, and he'll go in the lineup tonight.
Okay.
That's exciting. And I believe that's it for the guys that are immediate. And I don't have any, like I said, I don't have any update on anybody after that.
What's Kajula bring? How do you plan to use him? What would his role be with this team?
Well, you know, as with Bjorky, you give him a few games to just kind of settle in and go through things. But quickness, I mean, he's a relentless player. He has some dynamic pop to him, quickness. You know, he can make a play in tight. He can score a goal in tight. He's just feisty. Just energy, feisty, pushes the pace for the team, vocal guy in the locker room on the bench, but you know, in a real forward, intense, competitive way manner. So, you know, and I'm excited for that. I think that adds to our group.
I forgot UPL. Don, you think he might get a game in this week?
How could we forget him? He will back up tonight. I apologize. He'll back up tonight. And then, you know, there's a possibility the next game. So, again, we want to make sure there's a little bit of a process for him because he was coming off that injury. So, you know, he'll actually skate with us the first time this morning now. So he'd been on his own with rehab skates until now.
All right.
All right.
Very good. Yeah,
Donnie, are you having a good time?
I have, you know, winning is fun. So, and when you walk in the locker room and you see the guys excited and believe in their next opportunity and the potential of winning, yes, that is fun. And because of that, I am having a lot of fun.
Hey, you're snapping droughts. I don't know if the PR staff told you about.
I don't even want to hear about it, guys. I just want to think.
Then unfollow me on Twitter because I already tweeted that stuff out. So
yeah. I got to have a one track mind, but I hope you guys enjoy it, and I hope we can continue to bring good things.
Yeah, continued success. So we appreciate you coming on with us as always, and thanks for answering all the questions.
See you guys. Bye bye.